This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Describing themselves as a punked out, raucous seven-piece street band, the Horns of Leroy started its life, or has it started their life, in 2013 when the two founders, trumpeter Travis Woods and percussionist Daniel Berry, came home from New Orleans and decided that Melbourne needed a new band. Their band. Starting on the streets of Melbourne, they now tour the country, playing at festivals and major venues on a regular basis. They are about to launch their brand new second album at the end of this week, which looks and sounds absolutely superb. It's my pleasure to bid a very warm Bent Notes welcome to co-founder of the Horns of Leroy, trumpeter Travis Woods, and trombone player Chris Vizard. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. How are you all doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, you've had a bit of a busy day, I hear, today.
Yeah, we were out at the Jazz Lab playing for the benefit for the Wildlife Victoria. They Anton Deleke had organised a great benefit with about five bands. Our other band that we play in, not the Horns of Leroy, Sugarfoot Ramblers, which also actually includes four members of Horns of Leroy, finished off the night for the little set, so finished that and came straight here.
Would have been a great afternoon, and great to see the jazz community getting involved in supporting the community, in this case, wildlife.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Fem Belling organised something, was it Monday week ago? Mm. Anton Deleke today down at the Jazz Lab. So it's great to see that we are getting behind such important aspects of our community.
Absolutely.
It really is. But let's now go back in time, Travis. If I had the sound. I must get that sound effect. Let's go back in time. Before you inaugurated, that's a big word, the Horns of Leroy, I've been here all day.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a huge word at this time of the night. Before you inaugurated the Horns of Leroy, did you travel New Orleans because you already had a big love of that style of music, or was it just a trip to a place that you thought you should go and have a look at?
A little bit from column A, a little from column B. Daniel and I were in New York studying through our university, Monash University, and we were over at NYU doing a summer camp for a month, and we just figured after the we were all kind of fans of trad and New Orleans music, and we figured we should at the end of the trip go to New Orleans for a couple days, and we did. We went for a few days and saw a bazillion bands everywhere on the streets and all the clubs, everything like that. And one moment there was one brass band out the front of our hotel like every night, and they were huge brass band just playing on the streets, playing tunes. We saw them every night, and we were like, there's nothing like this in Melbourne. We should do something like this. This would be sick. So we literally came back, finished our courses 6 months later, started the band, and that was 7 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Before you went, had you had it in your minds that you would want your own band someday?
Did you
have a sense that you wanted the your band?
Well, there's always that thing of, you know, when you go to university, you kind of finish your course, and you're like, oh, gee whiz, what do I do now? And I was just lucky that started a couple bands, and they've been pretty busy ever since.
Way back in 2013 when you started the band, did you have a sense of where the band would be going?
No, not nowhere near as what we've done. And if I look back on the hundreds of gigs we've done and the festivals and all the really cool stuff, it's just I would never have had any inkling that we'd be even close to where we are right now. So it's really cool. It's really, really fun. And, you know, even just getting to play, like, we still get, you know, we still get billed and recognised as a jazz band, but, you know, we get to play it. We've played at Falls and Falls Festival and Splendor, and we've done some really cool things that are sort of a bit more outside of the realm of the jazz scene here in Australia, which is just outrageous. It's just so much fun.
So when you were invited to do those things that are a little bit outside the, I won't say traditional view, but the barrier you thought was there, did you think twice?
No. God, no.
Just jump into it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Had you already been playing outside the barrier of realms of jazz in the band anyway?
That's a good question. No. I mean,
I reckon we had, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, like, we'd kind of seen those bands that Travis was talking about in New Orleans. So I guess he's referring to bands like the Hot 8 Brass Band and things like that, who had quite famously done covers of, you know, pop songs or soul songs or funk songs. And we had kind of, you know, tried to take a similar approach to when we played that music. So so in that kind of way, I guess, yeah, we'd played things that weren't, you know, traditional kind of jazz songs when we're playing that music. So we kind of do have a bit of experience, you know, at playing in other realms and things like that, which made it easier. So yeah, that's definitely for sure.
And you were over in the same trip, Chris?
I wasn't. I was living in America at the time, but I...
We didn't know him then.
No, I was actually living in New York, and I committed the cardinal sin of not doing my pilgrimage to New Orleans. So I still haven't been.
Oh, really?
I was in kind of like modern jazz bebop world and just like kind of stayed there. And it's one of my biggest regrets is the fact that I didn't go to New Orleans. So, yeah.
Still plenty of time, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I'm still young. So, yeah, hopefully I'll make it there at some point.
What's to say that the Horns of Leroy won't go up against the Hot 8 Brass Band in the streets of New Orleans?
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it would also be, like, terrifying.
I reckon it would be worth looking at.
Well, we got to play with them a year ago when they came out to Melbourne and we got to support them, which was, you know, like, it was kind of a dream come true for most of us.
Oh, fantastic. We've
been idolizing them since we were kids.
Now, the music that you play in the Horns of Leroy, of course, is entertaining, but it's impossible not to react in some way. You can't just sit there and do nothing. You either tap your foot, you get up and dance, or you nod your head or whatever it is. What is it about the style of music that you play, the broad style, that catches someone's attention and gets their brain working?
Very good question. Chris, have you got any ideas?
I reckon it's the energy more than anything else. I think there's just like a sense of kind of sheer unbridled energy that you hear when you hear like a brass band playing, you know, and it's something that's kind of unique to brass bands, because I always say this, you know, to my students, brass instruments in particular, you know, trumpets and trombones, wind instruments are one of the most expressive, you know, instruments that exist, because, you know, it's not like a piano where you kind of you just press a button, you know, essentially, and it makes a sound. It's true. And when you play a horn, like, you can manipulate the way that you start and end a note, which is something that you don't have the luxury of being able to do on other instruments. And that innately has some more kind of human qualities. And then when you play that music, like, it's incredibly soulful, and it's got this kind of incredibly unquantifiable energy that gets people really excited and gets them, you know, wanting to dance and kind of jump around. Yeah, it's a good vibe.
I reckon it's time to start dancing and jumping around to some of the brand new music from the Horns of Leroy. A piece called Living Life. Where did that come from? Some interesting titles on this album.
Yeah, that's a... I'll keep it real quick, but we have a really... We don't have a great ability to name songs, and we often just come together and write things, or someone will bring something in, and then a little joke will come in from a tour or something, and then that's what things are named after and whatnot. But this one, I don't know, I think it was like more Ben actually wrote this, the other trumpet player wrote this song, and he came up with the tune and whatever, and then we played it for a bit and then worked out lyrics, and it's just how it came. He just had an idea of lyrics. There's no magic to it.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Gentlemen, do you call yourself a brass band?
Yes.
Excellent, I got it right. So, Streets of Melbourne, where you started.
Fitzroy, to be exact.
Fitzroy, oh, okay, yeah. I'll just change my script then. Yeah. Fitzroy, venue stages, festival stages, television, the recording studio. Is there a favourite place for you to perform?
Oh, very good question. I reckon everyone's got a bit of a different vibe, but me personally, I prefer when we play smaller, intimate venues where it's just, you know, there's not much amplification and you're just kind of, you know, vibing off people and vibing off the crowd, because that's where, you know, the music's so energetic and so crowd driven. Like, we, you know, if everyone's having a good time, we're going to have a good time. I don't know. I personally like the smaller, intimate things. It's also fun playing in the streets as well. We still every now and then do it, and you're like, what the? Where did this come from? You know, it's always fun, you know, and you get everybody from little kids to people, you know, our age. You get hipsters, you get older people. Everybody's all around and having a good time, and that's the beauty of the music is it's just so accessible for everybody. But maybe Chris has got a different idea.
I like playing outside. I like doing the parades and playing on the street. And yeah, in particular, you know, when we've got to do a few, like, what they call second line parades, which is, you know, something that you see a lot in New Orleans.
How would you know? You've never been.
Well, you know, because I've watched YouTube, so I live in the 21st century, so that's something that I particularly enjoy, because I think it's really interesting seeing how people react to it, like Travis said. And also, just from our perspective, when we are kind of playing down and we're walking down the street, you know, whatever, it doesn't seem to be as much pressure on us to actually, like, you know,
get
play
right
a certain way or get it right, as Trav said. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly like the record, because so it seems like it's a bit more unique and a bit new and a bit novel for us every time as well, because we're kind of reacting to what's happening around us, which I really enjoy.
It's sort of the argument of being down there and real and dirty, as opposed to being spick and span and spotless and boring.
Which our music is not spick and span.
No.
But it is exciting.
Yeah.
Which leads me onto a question. How do you as a band maintain that sense of freshness and that excitement when you're playing? How do you ensure that it doesn't become boring? And I suppose it's a question that arises because all musos play the same, well, ostensibly the same music for quite some time before they move on to something else. You play it over and over it again. And what's the song that no one wants to play? All of Me.
Oh.
That's the classic one that no one ever wants to play.
Gets a lot of work, that one.
Exactly.
A lot of royalties going on there.
So what do you do to maintain that freshness?
Well, my initial answer is drink a lot of alcohol before the gig. But that, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on radio. Yeah, I mean, we get... Sometimes it is that thing of, like, we do so many gigs, and especially around this time of the year, like, we're just working like crazy. You do get that thing of, like, oh my God, if I have to play this song again, I'm going to stab my face off or something. I don't know.
Wow.
It's just like, you do get a few, like, do get like that sometimes. But the music's just kind of fun to play for us, and we're all really good friends, and we just have a good hang. And for me, the music is one thing, but the camaraderie, like the hanging and the just chilling with mates, having some beers, playing some music, having a good time, making people have a good time, you know, that the music never gets stale because of that, for me. I don't know about Chris.
No, I reckon you're onto something there. I think a lot of it is, yeah, that kind of aspect of, you know, you're playing it with your mates and you're playing it with people who you genuinely like hanging out with. So if you're on a gig with them and you play, sometimes we'll do gigs where, you know, we'll do maybe 3-4 gigs in a day, and of course, you know,
that's
the same
punishment.
Well, the same thing. Yes. Oh, it's brutal, but the same thing comes up, you know, over and over again. We have to play the same song because people request it. Maybe, you know, we're playing that song 4 times a day. The way that we kind of keep it novel and keep it fresh is that we kind of challenge each other. So we'll play something new and then somebody has to respond to that, because innately it's about a call and response. So there's that kind of relationship there where it's never going to be played the same way twice live anyway. And that's kind of the exciting and challenging aspect.
And
of it,
and if someone messes something up, we all let them know about it and laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a good culture in the band.
And then they laugh back next time when you mess something up.
Oh, I don't make mistakes.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Your brand new album has no mistakes on it.
Oh, not from me.
No. It's called Big Night Out. I didn't realise until you actually handed me the album, I've looked at the picture so many times, that the logo, Big Night, has a number of instruments in it.
Mm.
I can see it. Trombone, two trumpets, the valves for the trumpets, which mm-hmm. aren't actually near the trumpets, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. I can see a cymbal. I can't see the other instruments, though. I can't see a sousaphone.
There was a bunch of stuff in there, and when I got it from my designer, I was like, it's a little bit overboard. So
let's, yeah, the sousaphone's only on the vinyl edition. It's,
And talking about vinyl, you've gone and done it in orange with blue inflections.
Yeah,
that's splatter. A bit different.
It's called splatter.
Splatter.
The industry term.
Is there a significance to the orange?
No, it's just more, you know, like fun vibe. You know, it's, well, I wanted to create the artwork that is going to resemble the music, and, you know, it had to be fun, light, you know, just in your face, and, you know, not, I don't know. It was just a colour scheme that I came up with it with the designer.
I love the shades of blue with the orange and the light orange as well just go together so well. So you've done a fantastic job on that.
Thank you.
And I assume the music, well, I don't assume, I know the music's great because I've heard it all. Thank you very much for that opportunity to have listened during the week.
All right.
But it's a great 10 tracks, almost all originals.
Mm-hmm.
And featuring the wonderful voice of Thando. We actually heard that at the top of the program tonight on Flex. Do you yourselves have highlights in this album that you absolutely love over the rest of the album? Or is it just one big highlight?
Look, when we recorded the album, you know, it all kind of happened real quick for us because a lot of guys were travelling and whatnot. We only had a very specific amount of time to record it. When we kind of actually worked out what songs we're going to do and we wrote specifically for it, we ended up all just going like, wow, we're really proud of this. This sounds really good. We're all, like, I know because we all talked about it, but we're all just really excited about it. All the songs are cool. My favourite is probably a song called Doing It Right. Ben, our trumpet player, wrote, or the trumpet player. That one's kind of one of my favourites. It's kind of a bit more in the New Orleans-y kind of brass band way. I don't know, genre, I guess. It's kind of got that thing to it. But everything's real different. I mean, the VB theme on there is also one of my favourites.
It is cute.
Yes,
it is cute.
Yeah, that was a career highlight, getting to record the VB theme.
But it's on the album because you actually did play it for...
We did, for the 50th anniversary of that, the composition of that theme. So we had the fortune to actually go and play our kind of version of that theme.
What were your thoughts when you got that request to...
This is the best day of my life.
Do we get a lifetime supply of VB? Is that the deal? We actually recorded it about 4 years ago for VB again when they were launching the classic can that came out maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was quite a while ago. So, but this version of it is like completely different. Yeah, completely different.
Great to listen to, though.
Mm, yeah, very great. Fun.
Now, you've been busy taking your party feel around Australia recently.
Mm-hmm.
Splendour, Ballow, Ballingen, Melbourne International Jazz Fest, Queenscliff, Rock Quiz. You're now back in Melbourne, home turf, and you're launching this beautiful album next Friday night.
Saturday night,
the 8th of, what month is it, February, at Howler in Brunswick, 7 to 11 Dawson Street, opposite the Brunswick Baths. What can we expect to see in here at the launch?
Well... there are a few surprises planned. I'm not going to give away too much just yet. We do have some special guests coming, but we've got Thando is going to be there with us, obviously singing. We've got Dive Team 5, which is a band made up of members of Fulton Street and Sasquatch. So it's a soul band that are going to support as well. And our really good mate Jules Bolt is going to open up the night. Great New Orleans blues-style piano player and singer. Vince Peach is going to be DJing some records all night. We're going to have loads of merch, some new t-shirts and things like that, and there's a few surprises, but you have to get a ticket and see what happens.
And for tickets, the best place to head would be hornsofleroy.com, where there's a link through to the night. So well worth hopping on the truck there, and it sounds like you've got a huge... are you going to fit in one night?
Yeah, it's going to be a big night, as they say.
A big night indeed. Well, Travis and Chris, thank you very much for dropping into Bent Notes tonight. I know you've had a very busy afternoon, so I do appreciate that time. It's been great to have a chat with you about the album and the band in general, and my very best wishes to you for every success with this brand new album.
Thank you.
And I reckon now, because you've made that comment, we should hear Doing It Right.
Yeah.
From the horns of Leroy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.